Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I've only been camping one time because the one time that I went camping, some bugs crawled into my sleeping bag and I woke up with bugs in my hair and I was like, I don't think this is for me.
Who are you? That's so upsetting. That's so upsetting.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and porn maker and just got home from kink camp.
Yeah.
And honestly, very exciting. I'm probably still dropping. It's fine.
Yeah.
It'll stop one day.
Con drop. That's one thing that I definitely didn't miss during the pandemic.
Oh, I actually did.
Oh, interesting.
Which is impressive.
Huh. You're a true kinkster. You miss the high points of experiences and then also the low points, I guess.
I just missed that it meant everything else happened.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I got to that point. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. So tell us about, what's the deal with this kink camp? What is it? Who puts it on? And like, basically what happens there in a nutshell?
So there's an organization called Dark Odyssey. They host four different events a year. Two of them are hotel events during the winter season or the cooler seasons. And the other two are camping events at a campground in Northern Maryland. They rent out the entire campground and about 1,000 kinksters take over. And I'm going to butcher the slogan because it's not in front of me, but something along the lines of do anything, do nothing, do it here. I don't even know if it's their slogan, but it says it on their website. And like, that is a thing that just kept coming to mind when I'm there and always does, because that is probably one of the best explanations you can give of the camp.
Mm-hmm.
It is just this big campground in the middle of the woods. There are people posted at the front gate that will not let cars onto the property unless they have bought a ticket to the event.
Mm.
So they cannot get anywhere near where the campers even actually are. I know the people who work the gate. They tent in an RV. They camp in an RV, rather, at the gate. So we have free reign of the property to do pretty much whatever we want, whenever and wherever. Keep your junk covered in the cafeteria and don't come in the pool.
Good advice for life, honestly.
Right, exactly. Like, I'm like, those barriers seem pretty comfortable. There are DMs in the dungeon spaces. There are chucks that we want you to use in, like, the public sex spaces, because there's furniture that Dark Odyssey puts out. But there are also a ton of campers who bring their own, like, huge tent setups, and you can just fuck in your tent and do whatever you want. It's just delightful.
It sounds like Burning Man for perverts, which I'm realizing as I say it, that Burning Man
kind
of already is for perverts. Yeah.
Yeah, but there is one of the people I went with this year has a lot of experience at burns, and it hadn't occurred to me as much that that is actually a pretty big overlap. I mean, I knew it was an overlap in people who went, but often when I was trying to describe it to people, I would be like, I would describe it as kind of a kink con, but very different. And like, that big other chunk of it is Burning Man, and I've never been, so it hadn't really occurred to me. But it does feel similar to me in the ways people have described that.
Yeah, probably you're just like trying to get like dirt out of your junk instead of playa dust. But I mean, basically,
yes.
Same difference.
Yes, it is like certainly all of the camping things, but also the community stuff.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've heard, the thing about Burning Man is it brings together a lot of people with a very similar mindset. You don't buy and sell things there or trade things, you gift things. It is about creating a space that is entirely gone when you leave and supporting each other while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And camp feels very similar. I have gone to camp in years past with almost no money in my bank account, enough to get there, and no food and no meal plan ticket. And just kind of survived the few days off of the people around me.
Mm.
Different camps would be like, oh, come to us for dinner, or oh, we'll take care of you. Yeah, we got things, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
People would be like, have you had water today? What are you doing? Like, I didn't even know that many people. These were all people I met that weekend. There's one camp that I go to that serves lunch for as many people as come by. And again, this is a 1,000-person camp. As many people as come by. They have these big grills, and they're just flipping burgers for X amount of hours during the day. And the only rule is to eat their food, you have to talk to someone you've never met before. And they just have a big tent with a bunch of tables laid out. Wow. And they're like, and I ate lunch there every day. It was delightful.
That's amazing. So yeah. It sounds like a lot of people there are really conscious of the possibility of like shyness and social mm-hmm. anxiety. And I know that like based on our listener demographic, there's probably some people wondering right now, like I'm really shy or anxious. Is this a good space for me? What would you say to those folks?
I mean, yes and no. Depends on your flavor of shy and anxious, right? It is easy to disappear into the crowd if you are able to let that happen, right? Mm-hmm. And like, it is very overwhelming. There is a lot happening. Like I said, if it would be weird and overwhelming for you to just possibly be able to stumble across people fucking or doing really heavy kink sporadically throughout mm-hmm. your day, like regularly, then maybe not, right? Because it is overwhelming and camp itself feels like a kink scene from me end to end, mm-hmm. right? So it is an experience and it is a fantastic time. And I always leave with big thoughts about my life and my kink moving forward and how I fit into this big broad community and what this big broad community looks like. And like, yeah, it can be overwhelming. That said, there are a ton of different mixers and events. You're not going to go to everything there, but you're going to be able to set up like a nice little spread of events where you can meet people. And it was my partner's first camp. Literally anyone who we told that to, and it was most people, were absolutely delighted. Oh, have you seen this person yet? Have you done this yet? Like, mm-hmm. so eager to talk to them. And like, we had several people who would like notice them later and say hi. They walked around in their googly eye bikini for a minute and literally talked to everyone. It was delightful. So it is so easy to make friends and people are invested in you having a good time. Mm-hmm. But it's also a lot.
Yeah, that note about the bikini kind of made me think of Burning Man also, because I know that some shy folks I know who have been say that your outfit can be a huge conversation starter, mm-hmm. which I like to do that anyway, just anytime I go anywhere, basically, because I'm super shy. But I think especially at an event like that, it could be a really fun place to like show off your kink wear or, you know, various fetishy things you might have to wear.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things I love, this event, I don't know if you've seen the tweet or the meme or whatever, the running joke that queers never seem to be dressed for the same event at a party. No. But this is like perfectly emblematic of that. So yeah, there are plenty of people who are wandering around just naked or with a towel or like in a chastity cage or whatever. There are plenty of people in like really elaborate latex or like cool leather. We also see people in just, I don't know, whatever silly fun things they feel like wearing. We saw some, one like petite femme walking around with two very large, burly, bearded dude types in fairy wings on either side. And they looked delightful. And they were both thrilled. Like, I spoke to one of them at lunch a couple of times. And, like, yes, he was delighted to be there. It was fantastic. But they just, arm in arm, all three of them walked through camp. I have no idea where they came from or where they were going. I was by the pool one day, and I saw a mermaid and, like, a fisherman in the big, like, yellow jacket with the hat and things. And someone else in a t-shirt that says Mermaid Security. and she was like, the mermaid was sitting on the side of the pool, getting her hair done, and her hands tied to her hair with one of those plastic things that six packs of beer come in.
Okay.
That we worry about tangling up sea life.
Right.
Yeah, they were using it to bind her hands and, like, kind of to her head and hair.
Whoa.
And then threw a net over her head and then paraded off. I don't know. I was so excited to see what was going to happen next, and the scene didn't happen where I was, so I have no idea.
This role play has an ecological message. That's amazing.
I know! It was delightful.
Kink can be and anything you want it to be. I love that shit.
It really can. It's so good. So, like, yeah, there were people wearing literally anything they want to. There are a million onesies, of course, for, like, cozy nighttimes and things.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think part of the fun and part of what kind of reinforces the environment is that, yeah, you can literally just, like, there were also plenty of times that I was naked in the tent because I had, like, just woken up or something and literally ran across camp naked to go grab something because it was faster than putting on pants. Which, like, I don't know, is a weird energy to have in a crowd of 1,000 people. I don't think there's many places where you experience that. Like, there are plenty of places where I'm like, yes, I will go here naked because it's horny or because I, like, you know, because it's making a statement or whatever. But it's like, no, this is just more convenient. And I don't know, you 1,000 folks are my buds, I guess, now. It's fine. We've been here 5 days. It's fine.
Yeah, whenever I've done events where nudity was a part of them, I always find it amazing how, like, when you first strip down, or, like, this is my experience anyway, I always feel really, like, naked and exposed and vulnerable at first and, like, really uncomfortable, even if other people around me are definitely completely naked. And then within, like, not that long of a time, I'll be, like, feeling completely natural, like, as if I was always that way. And it almost kind of seems weird to put clothes back on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So we got quite an eclectic smattering of listener questions, but I guess I want to hear first about, like, scenes that you did or adventures that you had. Like, what were some fun things that were, like, highlights of the trip for you?
Yeah, so I had, I think, 4 scenes over the course of the weekend, which is more than I usually do, but I went with my pet, which was delightful, I think. Maybe not more than I usually do. But I was still kind of in a kinky headspace for more time than I usually do, which was delightful. And then in addition to the 4 scenes, I taught 2 classes, which is a whole other adventure.
That's exhausting.
Yeah. And remember that whole do whatever, wherever? Like, people ain't fucking in the tent, but people are fucking around way near to the tent.
Is that so very, like, distracting?
It's very especially distracting. With your,
like, I know that when we do this show, I try not to interrupt you mid-thought because it'll just fly out of your head. It'll probably, like, it's happening now, quite possibly, and I'm sorry if I made that happen.
I'm good. Okay, I held on to it.
Okay, good. Because, yeah, I would imagine that you struggled with that teaching classes while people were fucking outside.
I did. And, well, so the thing is, I didn't say fucking. I said fucking around. Which is somehow different. More distracting. Yes. So during my blowjob workshop, my blowjob workshop was scheduled near one of the large fields during something that is called the hunt that is put on by the folks down at the tribal camp. And what they do is you sign up to be a predator or prey, and then the prey are released, and then the predators are released. And when I told this story to my friend Kev, who has been on the show, he was like, yeah, so, like, you know, and then what happens to the prey? And I'm like, no, we catch them and bring them back and get points and then let them go again. This is grown-up tag, but horny, we're naked.
Kinky catch and release.
Exactly. Like, maybe prey entirely possibly gets fucked later. But in the meantime, there's a time limit and the predators want to win. So but my workshop was right near one of the catch and release points. So I would be teaching and I would just start to notice my like class's eyes just slowly drifting towards like about 2 feet to my left. And I would suddenly look over and, like, someone dressed as Velma is, like, hugging the side of the barn trying not to get caught. And I'm like, all right, just keep talking or you'll blow their cover. This is fine. And, like, what I learned was I had to wait until, like, I could keep talking and keep the workshop going because I had shit to get through. I didn't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And I could keep it going as long as I had about 40 to 60% of the attendees' attention. But once it kind of tipped out of my favor and they were all looking out of view, I had to shift my attention to the hunt, mm-hmm. which typically looked like being, yeah, get them, go! Which was really fun, actually, to scream across a field. And then
you're like,
eventually,
and now back to the frenulum. Like,
right, exactly. And then someone would get tackled out in the field, and I'd get to go back to talking about sucking dick. It was fine. We made it through the workshop. And then during my bottoming one, it was very rainy, and people were getting beaten behind me. But somehow the entire class stayed. I don't know if any of y'all are listening, but I love you all. It was, like, pouring, and they were all just diligently there, like, yes, I do want to have big thoughts about how kink works, sure.
I mean, they're all bottoms. They're like, I'll take whatever the sky gives me. I don't care.
Very true. I adore them. They were delightful. And then kinky things. You asked me about kinky, horny things, but that hunt was...
No, I mean, I needed that image of Velma pressed against the wall. I started thinking about how, like, that almost seems like a grown-up Scooby-Doo plot that she would have to sneak into a blowjob class and hide and pretend to be a student so that she could avoid some villain coming after her or something.
Right. It really, like, it was an entire Scooby-Doo image. It was, the fact that this person was Velma was not odd to me at all. I, like, turned around and I was like, ah, yes, Velma, hello.
Where's the mystery machine?
Exactly, yeah. And then there's just a large man in a kilt chasing her down. I don't know.
I don't remember that episode. But kinky, horny things, though.
Yes, kinky, horny things. I was suspended for... I've been suspended before as, like, labs and demos to kind of get a feel for what it feels like. Mm-hmm. But I was suspended by my really hot friend, Malachi, and it was delightful. And it was, like, actually a scene, and they did lots of mean stuff to me. And I was blindfolded for the entirety of it. Ooh. Like, yeah, they kissed me, and the blindfold came down while they were kissing me, so I saw nothing. I know I floated a bunch. There was a lot of rope, and it hurt. Quite a bit at some points, but that is all I've got for you until the pictures come back, because there are no pictures at camp, but there are photographers. And as soon as my eyes were covered, my pet sprinted to the nearest photographer and was like, you need pictures. This person's getting tied by Malachi. I don't know if you know, this person is, like, very good at rope and knows a lot of the people at camp. So they're like, they're doing rope. My pet just aggressively name dropped and was like, go get lots of pictures of my daddy.
That must have been so wild. That kind of reminds me of the idea of, like, floating in one of those sensory deprivation tanks or something, like, that it would be really spacey and floaty.
Yes. So, like, rope space for me in general brings me, like, really deep and floaty. Mm-hmm. And in, like, in the air, it is very different because you're obviously, like, it's easy to get disoriented of kind of where the ground is and kind of where you are in relation to it, mm-hmm. Especially when you're blindfolded. However, it is not sensory deprivation in the way that, like, I always kind of imagine a vac bed to be, mm-hmm. because you are very aware of your body. You are, I am in my body. Like, I am very floaty, but I am aware of what my body is doing. I think sometimes pictures of suspension look almost peaceful and, like, very floaty. It's not. It's not. It's hard. It's mm-hmm. fun. It's great. It is the kind of hard that I like, but it's hard, and you're doing, like, a difficult thing and testing your body's strength. in ways that are masochistic but different from pain play, like impact and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, because you are supporting your body weight in very specific points. Like at one point, apparently, I had a thing around my waist that was supporting most of my weight. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a couple of strands around my waist, and I was kind of bent around it in a way that felt great. Like that was one of my favorite kind of shapes that I was in throughout mm-hmm. the scene. And it's going to look quite cool, but it hurt like hell.
Yeah, it seems like a really interesting and different kind of pain.
Yeah. Yeah, I quite like it. And then there was that night, they had a, like, wasteland party that was going to be very crowded, and I did not need to be at. Because I'm an old man. So before the wasteland party, right around dusk, I walked my pet around in a gas mask hood. Mm-hmm. And they wear glasses, so they couldn't have them on underneath, and we didn't put their contacts on. And the, like, goggles are pretty, like, opaque and foggy. So it was kind of hard for them to see. So I had them on a leash and had to, like, guide them through camp. But we walked them through camp in that and their harness. And we fucked after that. And I'm not going to talk too much about that here. I'll get more into that one on the, like, bonus episode that we are going to be releasing on Patreon again soon.
Yeah, that'll be in October.
Yes. Because I have to save things for that. And also, if I talked in too much detail about all the scenes I did here, we would be here forever. So we did that, and we went to the very beginning of the wasteland and played, and then left immediately, like, as it was starting, which was delightful. I also had a foursome the next day, and I'm going to save that for the bonus episode as well, again, because it's long-ass stories.
There's always a lot going on in a foursome.
Really, it was a foursome at a queer orgy, so, like, there's just
yeah
so much.
That's a novel, basically.
Exactly. But that morning, I had a really fun impact scene, and it was so I wanted to hit my pet while we were, like, sort of in a public place. Mm-hmm. And it had kind of got, it had been rainy kind of all day that day on and off. So a lot of the dungeon furniture, so they had most of the dungeon furniture outside this year, and a lot of it had been kind of squeezed under one tent to protect it. And we weren't going to, like, bring it back out into the rain. So we were looking around for what wasn't in use and wasn't covered. And we found a big wooden swing that I love. It's maybe the size of a twin size bed, maybe a little bit smaller, just thick wooden, thing on large chains. It's suspended by large, like, metal chains, so it can kind of swing side to side and stuff. So we stood them on that, like, leaning over that, which was rough, because that would have had to engage, like, their thighs and their core to kind of keep themselves stable, right? Because the thing they're bracing themselves on wasn't stable, which I pointed out when I suggested it, and for some reason they still volunteered, which is a trend that ran this weekend, because it reminds me that there were several bits of furniture throughout the weekend that we would walk by, and Ash would be like, what's that thing? Oh, that thing? It's a floating birdcage. It's a tiny little birdcage. It's got a chain at the top. You climb in it. They'd be like, I want to climb in it. Okay. And they'd start walking away, and I'm like, no, climb in it. Climb in the fucking, it's empty. Climb in it. And then I'd fuck with them. So the birdcage, we just kind of swung them around a bit. It was quite cute. They had to, like, sit almost a little bit curled up, like they could sit almost all the way upright, but not quite. You could just swing them around in it. And then I reached in to poke them, and they panicked and were like, "How'd you get in here?" It's not that small, love. But they were so spacey. They were like, "No, I'm in the cage. You can't. How'd you get in the cage?" So they just reached in. And then the other one that they really wanted to try was kind of a floating sarcophagus. So it is like exactly the size of a person. So you can stand upright with your hands at your side. I think you can kind of squiggle your hands up a little bit, but that's difficult. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can't like move around or bend over or whatever. And it is about a foot off the ground. And like, because you're like that, you can't even shift enough to influence your weight or how you swing. So they were just in that, and I could just swing them around and move them around however they want. It also had holes in the side, so I was also able to tickle them, and they couldn't go fuck it anywhere.
Oh, that sounds like a hard limit for me, but I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Oh, it was delightful. And in the middle of it, I was trying to be all, like, badass and dommy, and I, like, spun them around to the, like, rest of the dungeon, because we were kind of in the corner, and I was like, look at all those people looking at you, like, how loud your laugh. You're just shrieking over here and attracting all this attention, and, like, everyone's staring at you. No one was looking at us. Fucking, like, I planned I was going to do it, but I was focused on them until the moment when I said, look up at all those people. So I'm very focused on them, and I spin them around, and I, along with them, look up at all those people, and they are all facing the opposite direction. Because we were in the corner, which was by design, it's fine. But I was like, I just ran with it. I was like, mm-hmm, they're all absolutely staring at you, just hoping for the fact that they're subby and their eyes are closed. Fully were. They didn't know until I told them afterwards. But I was just like, this is great. This is fine. We're doing great.
That's good dominance. You just sold it 100%. Gotta respect that.
I really tried. And the other cool thing about that one is that it, because you can only stay upright, mm-hmm. when I decided I wanted to make them come, because I could, they realized it was, well, no, okay, so that's, what happens is that's how it happens. I, like, start fucking with them and then touch their junk for a second and then go, oh, I could get them off. Yeah, well, we could do that, yeah. That sounds fun, sure. So I was doing that. And they told me later that it made it particularly difficult because, like many people, when they come, they curl up in a ball a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. They curl forward and crunch. The cage doesn't let you do that. And apparently, that means the cage didn't let them come, at least not for a minute. Because they were like, I thought they just happened to happen at the same time. Mm-hmm. No, apparently it was a key ingredient in the process.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Was standing up a part of that at all? Because, like, I definitely can't come standing up. I either collapse or just don't.
A little bit, but, like, it's harder but not impossible. Mm-hmm. So, like, they mentioned that it was particularly the curling that they're like, no, my body kept trying to, and then there was just a cage there, and it was, and then I couldn't. And also the cage was kind of cold because it's like thick, heavy metal. Mm-hmm. It's quite fun. Enjoyed it immensely.
So kinky. Amazing.
This was at like noon on like a Saturday. We had gotten breakfast and walked past it. And we're like, oh, what's that thing? You want to do that? Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, that sounds fun. I was like, yeah, just stand in it. See what it feels like. And then I tickled them and was like, hey.
I was like, at that point, I was like lying in bed watching makeup tutorials on YouTube and eating a grilled cheese. Something like that. Let's talk about some of these other listener questions. I was curious about this too. A couple people actually asked what the COVID precautions were. I guess it wasn't like that big of a deal because it's very outdoors. But what were they doing?
Yeah. So they made it more outdoors than it usually is. So the dungeon mm-hmm. is usually in a barn. They like limited the stuff out there, extended the outside areas, extended the outside eating areas and that sort of thing. Asked that folks stay masked anytime they're inside. Voyeuring in the dungeon anytime you're getting food out of the cafeteria. And also in classes, which was hit or miss, but all of the classes were outdoors. It was just tighter clusters of people than in general. Mm-hmm. You had to be vaccinated to attend, and they were really great about asking folks to also get a COVID test 72 hours before you attended. It mm-hmm. wasn't required, but if you could show it to the folks at registration, they gave you a little gold star on your badge, so you could kind of know that, like, they had confirmed with your legal name and your ID that you had gotten tested, but you didn't have to share that information with anyone.
We could
just all trust the stars. Yeah. And the majority of people I saw had their little gold stars, which was really neat.
Yeah.
So it felt quite safe. I've done a couple of event type things lately. Like, I've gone to a couple of concerts and burlesque shows and things, and this felt safer than most of the things I've done, honestly, and it was also the largest number of people. But we were spread out over such a wide space, and there was it was all outdoors, which was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Was it weird being around people again?
A little bit. I've started working retail recently, so that has, 2 months, 3 months now. As part of, like, I genuinely did it because I was like, I need low-stakes interactions with other people so that I can remember what those feel like.
Yeah.
Because this would have been very different if I hadn't done that. And I can't, like... I remember starting to come out of the pandemic, and I was like, every interaction was hugely high stakes because the first people I was seeing were the people I was most excited to be seeing, right? Those were the plans I scheduled first. I was like, oh, God. So now I see, a couple hundred people a day at work as they come through my store, and like, I know how to customer service, right? And it kind of got those muscles working again. So that helped a lot going to camp. I was kind of able to be, I did some volunteer time there, and I taught my workshops there. So a lot of that is my like customer service-y Bex Talk Sex person thing. And I was able to kind of fall into that, which was nice. That is a genre of extroversion I have gotten quite good at over the years.
Good. A listener was wondering, what should I bring? Which is a great question. Like, obviously you don't have to list every single thing that you brought, but like, maybe what are some things that folks might not necessarily know or think to bring to something like this?
Sure. Well, it depends on your bedding situation. You can, there are several different ways you can camp. You can rent a cabin. You don't get your own cabin, right? You get a cabin bed, and the beds, I think most cabins have 10 people, except the compound, which is the largest one and has the most. So if you're getting a cabin, you want sheets and stuff for your beds, although you can rent that from camp. Also extra money, right? But the most expensive option is to do that. You can RV, which I have no fucking idea what you need if you bring your RV, but I assume you do because you own an RV. Or you can tent. I always tent because I like the privacy of this little bubble in this huge campground is mine. It's only mine. Belongs just to me. So if you are tenting, you want your tent, you want your air mattress or sleeping bag or whatever situation you are laying on, sheets, pillows, etc. You want whatever kinky things you want to bring to do. If you are a person who does like roper things, you want to bring the stuff that you can ruin too because you're doing this at camp. So if there's stuff you want to do in the dirt or mud, it might be handy to bring some stuff for that. One of the fun things I have about camp is being like, I am in nature. I can do just a filthy, gross scene if I want. you want to bring whatever assorted gear that you're going to be wanting to be playing with. You want to bring your toiletries. If you want to make food for yourself, you can bring your like camping kitchen stuff. Again, if you own one, I presume you know what you need for that. Bring like flip-flops or slip-on shoes or something like that, particularly for using in the showers, bug spray, sunblock, Things like that. I find I have like a leather hip bag that I find really helpful when I'm there. Because if you are a person who might even consider wandering around naked, you want something that can hold your shit.
No pockets on the naked human body. Well,
yeah, no pockets in most fetish gear, right? Yeah. Like, if you're running around in your pup hood the whole time, like, figure out a pocket situation that you will also feel hot in. So I have like one of those leather thigh holster harness thingies, mm-hmm. That I keep like my wallet keys, not my keys, I don't need them, but my wallet, my phone, things like that. And I have a water bottle that I bring with me. There are like big jugs of water all over the place with cups, but I like to have my own thing. Also highly recommend baby wipes, because mm-hmm. especially if you don't have a cabin, the shower situation is big public showers. You each get your own stall, right? Like, you can go in there with a towel. You don't have to be naked in front of everyone to take a shower. But they're not warm. If you go, I don't know if I want to share this knowledge on the podcast. How many listeners do we have that go to cabin? If you go during meals, you have a chance of possibly getting some of the hot water. But it's not tip. Likely. It's quite cold, if you're showering in the public ones, at least.
A cold shower is a kink scene in and of itself. Exactly. I mean, that is brutal. I had to take one recently because they shut our hot water off for a while. And like, I was like, I forgot how actually painful this is to do.
It's just upsetting. It's just... Yeah. The number of people that, like, I would be in the shower and they would just hear me be like, no. And then I'd have other people, like, coming into the bathroom being like, no hot water, huh? No. I hate this. So anyway, baby wipes are great for if the showers are crowded or cold or if you were just, like, running between scenes or whatever and just mm-hmm. want to get, like, your pits and junk cleaned up. Fantastic for that. And also just for, like, in general, having around the tent if you need to clean up things. Yeah, I think that's probably the most helpful. That's probably my list, I think. There is also, when you register, they have on the site a list, a like suggested list if you're a person who has never camped before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did get a question about that. Folks who haven't done much camping before but are interested in going to something like this. It sounds like the cabin situation would probably be the thing to do if you're like not that jazzed about the camping thing, if you can afford it. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely recommend that. And you can get like, there are definitely people who go to camp with more of a glamping situation here. Like you can, if you can afford to, you can get like a really nice tent set up and like set up shop here in a way that you couldn't if you're just hiking into the woods and camping somewhere, right? It is not your like roughest camping experience that you're going to have. It is good for training wheels, even if you are going to tent in a time that you're not super used to. I would recommend the cabins for if that sounds more comfortable for you than a tent, that's great. For me, like I said, I'm like, no, there's so many people in those cabins. What are they doing? They yeah. have the showers, but they're also in there. I don't know. the hardest thing for me is just having access to the showers. And because even the showers are public, so that like I'm rushing in and out of the water, so I only feel like I get so clean. And I'm like, no, I'm doing a lot of kink things. Mm-hmm. So like by the last day, I'm like, I was talking to people and I'm like, I very much want for you to go down on me, but I need you to be like very down for that also, because I have been at camp for 5 days and I just need to know you're also very down for that. And they yeah. are, because they're a pervert like me, but like I definitely needed to hear that by day 5 of camp.
Yeah, good to check.
Yeah, yeah.
One more listener question. Somebody was wondering about what is the queer versus straight breakdown? And I guess I'm wondering more generally, like, what is the demographic? What are these folks like in general?
Yeah, I mean, 1,000 Kinksters is a huge fucking cross-section of Kinksters. Mm-hmm. This year in particular, there were a lot of newbies. But there are certainly plenty of queers there. Like, there are queers involved in making the event happen, and there are a lot of queers who attend. And I hang out with them a ton. And for me, it is kind of a camp within a camp. Because there are, you can talk to people from other sections of camp who are having totally other experiences of camp. And you're like, wow, I haven't seen any of those things. So there are also a lot of straight folks there. Also a lot of older Kinksters. People in their, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s even. Like,
cool.
Folks who have been doing this a long ass time. Plenty of straight folks, plenty of folks for whom this is their kind of one event a year, their one thing, just like getting out and doing it and their like secret thing, they go to the woods. Met people who were like, we met a couple of people this year, I think especially because of the pandemic, who were like, I've never done anything like this, I wouldn't imagine doing a thing like this, but like this past year, you know, I figured like, might as well go for it. Mm-hmm. So that was really cute and also wild because I was like, wow, that's not my life. Hi.
Yeah.
They're like, back in my real life, I was like, what are you talking about? This is real life. I don't. Sure.
Yeah. I remember those days when I felt that those things were really separate. And like, I know that not everybody wants to combine those things together. But like, if that is something that you want, person who's listening to this, I hope that you can find that someday.
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely like was like that in my first few cons too. And at this point I'm like, no, I'm so enmeshed in this. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, and going to camp definitely feels like coming home a lot of the times. Like when I got there, I was just walking around smiling and a complete stranger walked by and was like, oh, hey, welcome home, and kept walking. And I was like, aww. Yeah, yeah.
<That's>
Cause it was like, it's like that there. I am only slightly woo these days, but there are two like places in the world that I feel like have distinct energies. Mm-hmm. Maybe three. I guess Disney World gets it, but that energy is tainted with capitalism. But New York City and this campground are like two places where I'm like, no, I step there and I'm like, no, I feel this place in my bones and I love it.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, thank you for sharing your camp stories and wisdom with us. Mm-hmm. And thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dildorks. I have been Kate Sloan. I have a sex blog at girlyjuice.net. I have a book coming out in less than a month, 101 Kinky Things Even You Can Do, which you can order at 101kinkythings.com. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. And you can check out my other podcasts. It just went on hiatus, but there's a whole bunch of episodes for you to listen to. It's called Question Box. Where's your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find my writing at bextalksex.com and information about my workshops there as well. I have, at time of release on this one, I have a bottoming workshop coming up later this week, so you can still get tickets for that on Eventbrite by searching Bex Caputo. Hopefully by the time this goes live, I will also have listings for my October workshops. I might be debuting a new one, so stay tuned for that. If you want to see me naked, you can go to Billy Lore on Twitter. That is where all my porn stuff is. I just released a really, really good threesome video with my friend Austin, and that I am just, it's very good. So that is on my many vids, Pocket Stars, Just for Fans, etc. Together we are the Dildorks. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at the Dildorks and at thedildorks.com. You can also find us at patreon.com/thedildorks.
Yeah, on the topic of our Patreon, I want to say thank you to the folks who've already updated their pledges. If you're an old school patron of ours and you haven't yet updated your pledge to go with our new reward structure, I would really urge you to do that so that you can access our cool perks. You can do that at patreon.com/thedildorks. And new folks can also, of course, sign up anytime. The lowest level, which is $6 a month, gets you access to our really cool Dildorks Discord community, which is just full of interesting discussions every week.
It really is.
Yeah.
I've been, like, really delighted by how many people we've got in there already, and, like, I don't know, just the conversations we're already having. It's been really nice to chat with folks, like, after the episodes drop and, like, hear that they listen to them and things. It's been really fun. I'm excited to see that community grow.
Yeah, me too. And the Patreon bonus episodes that we mentioned earlier are available for $12 a month, which also gets you access to the Discord. And then at $18 a month, you're our top tier supporters. So you get all of that stuff, and we're going to shout you out on every episode. And so this week, I want to say thank you to our top tier supporters, Amelia, Matthew, Nat B, and Stabitha Christie.
And make sure you sign up for that bonus episode if you want to hear about the queer orgy. It's going to be filthy this month is the thing. I don't mean to spend it dirty talking to our listeners, but I just signed myself up to tell a story about a foursome at a queer orgy where, spoilers, I got fisted 3 times. So Anyway... maybe come listen to this story.
You really buried the lead on that one.
Listen. The thing is, so much else happened, I forgot.
You forgot about the triple fisting. All right. All right. It's fine. We get it. You live a really cool life, Bex.
I guess I do.
Thank you so much to Protodome, who let us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
Bye. Ash, I'm telling stories about you. Should I call you Ash? I keep calling you Pat exclusively.
You call me Ash on a podcast all the time.
I know, but these are about filthy things I've done to your holes. And it's just directly next to each other. Great.
Can that go in the bloops?
That can go in the bloops, yeah.
I need it for my bloops.
It just somehow felt more explicit to be like,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.